I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Vin Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome, welcome. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now and Helping People. And you are listening to us on KKXX.net, 104.5 FM, here in the Chico area, all the way up to Corning and down to Woodland. Please enjoy today's show. We're talking about love languages. My co-host today is Joe Taylor, licensed marriage and family therapist. Both of us work over at Chico Creek Counseling. So if you want to know a little bit more about the hosts you're listening to, please feel free to go to ChicoCreekCounseling.com. And I'd like to remind you guys that while we're talking about psychotherapy, psychology, and all of those topics, it is not a substitute for getting therapy for yourself. So if something triggers you and you think, this is a big deal, I need to work on this, I want to encourage you to seek out help with someone who is professionally trained in this industry. That is either of us. So you can go to ChicoCreekCounseling.com and find either of us and set appointments. Or there are a ton of wonderful therapists in the area. So you can Google, use the Yellow Pages, whatever it takes. But this show is just to help get your feet wet. So last week we talked a little bit about when people make promises in the relationship. You've said, this is bothering me, and your significant other says, okay, I'll work on it. But then they never work on it. And you're feeling disappointed and disheartened. And we talked about that. And then at the end of the show, we started talking a little bit about love languages and ran out of time. So we thought we'd pick up right here in that same spot and talk about love languages a little bit more. Because sometimes our significant other is genuinely trying, genuinely making an effort to make you feel loved, but you guys have different love languages. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a little analogy. One of my supervisors when I worked in Reading had this analogy, and I just love it. So there's a flower and a puppy, and the puppy really loves the flower, and the flower really loves the puppy. And so the flower in the morning blooms, and she becomes big and beautiful, and all her colors are showing. And she says to herself, I'm going to bloom so beautiful so that when the puppy sees me, he will know how much I love him. And then the puppy says, oh, I love that flower so much. I know what I'll do. I'm going to go get some of my puppy treats, my very favorite puppy treats. And I'm going to dig a hole right at the base of the flower. And I'm going to bury my puppy treats right there so that the flower knows how much I love her, because she will get to have my favorite, most best puppy treats. But when the puppy does that, it kind of hurts the flower because it's kind of digging up her roots and she doesn't feel loved at all. And the puppy doesn't understand why the flower doesn't give him any presents. He gives her his very favorite puppy treats, and she doesn't give him anything. She just sits there blooming for him. And both of them are loving the other one as best they can with all of their love, but the other one is not feeling loved, and in fact sometimes feeling hurt by that love. And so that's where the love languages come in. The puppy's love language is probably gift giving, and I don't know, what would you say that the flower's love language is?
Blooming.
Is that a spiritual gift?
Maybe quality time or act of service. So the five love languages is giving a gift.
I don't know how that fits into the five love languages, but it's a great analogy, because we often do that with each other. Mm-hmm. We try to love each other based on what it is our needs are.
Mm-hmm.
And what I often run into with guys is that most guys would say, well, their love language is no great surprise, physical touch.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they doing with their wives? They're touching them all the time. Well, if hers isn't physical touch, then that creates a big problem. It's kind of like digging at the roots of this pretty flower.
Mm-hmm.
So she needs something different. Conversely, if her love language is gifts of service, and she's giving gifts to him but never touching him, you know, and I'm not talking necessarily about sexual touch, but a hug, a rub on the back, a touch mm-hmm. the arm, hold the hand. That's that kind of physical touch. Then he's just wilting, to use the flower analogy.
She thinks that, well, I'm making him dinner all the time. I'm keeping the house mm-hmm. up. I didn't bother him when he was wanting to do this other thing. I'm doing all of these acts of service. He must know how much I love him. And he's feeling left out because she never touches him. If he's working on his home computer and she walked up and just gave him a shoulder squeeze, that would speak volumes to him about the love.
You'll light up.
But she thinks, I'm going to leave him alone and give him time to himself. And in the meantime, I'm going to go and do this stuff around the house. And he'll know he's loved because he got to have that free time and this other stuff got done.
So he's actually feeling unloved when she's trying to demonstrate love to
him. Right. So there's the flower and the puppy.
There you go.
All right. So when we come back, we'll talk about the gifts, the acts of service. What are those? And how you can improve your relationship by maybe learning more about yours. Please stay tuned. This is Jessica Wilkerson and Joe Taylor.
I'm Scott Ulrich.
I'm Vin Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is
Chico
Now.
Now. Chico Now.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. And if you've just tuned in, I'll give you a little brief summary. We have been talking about love languages, which is actually a book by Dr. Gary Chapman. So if you want to learn more than what the little snippet we're giving you today, please feel free to pick up his book anywhere. It's been out for a long time, or online, Dr. Gary Chapman. My name is Jessica Wilkerson. I'm a marriage and family therapist, registered intern number IMF69783. And I work under the clinical supervision of Joe Taylor over at Chico Creek Counseling. And my co-host today is Joe Taylor, licensed marriage and family therapist, who also works over at Chico Creek Counseling. So, Joe, we have 5 love languages to cover. Would you like to talk about the first one?
Sure. Of course, you know, being a guy, you know, number one is physical touch. And mm-hmm. so that's definitely my number one primary love language. I think words of affirmation is number 2 for me, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so when I just think about when a loved one touches me, it could be my wife or a family member, then I just light up. You know, it's like, you know, I could be sitting doing my own business and maybe reading a book and somebody in the family comes by and maybe just puts their hand on my arm or something, and it's like, whoa, you know, everything, you know, sparks start flying because it's a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that is. I guess that's just the way God wired us up, those of us who have that as our love language. But it is amazing what happens. So, again, as we were saying right before the break, we're not necessarily talking about sexual touch. We're talking about usually, most of the time, non-sexual touch, where you're conveying a care, a loving feeling. You know, it's the touch on the shoulder or the holding of the hand. that, you know, you're just feeling, ooh, that feels so good. Mm-hmm. Well, for some people, that's not that big of a deal. But to identify what your love language is a key element. So the other one for me was
words
of affirmation. And so when somebody says something nice about to me, then, you know, that has not as strong of a feeling, but it kind of lights me up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, well, that feels good. Thank you. So for us to be able to identify what is the love language of this person that we care about is a key factor in meeting their needs.
Mm-hmm. Well, for example, my husband also is physical touch. It's his number one.
How surprising.
And mine is words of affirmation and then acts of service. I always have my clients look at the top two because there's mm-hmm. five.
Right.
And no one speaks only one language. I mean, even in real life, we sometimes when we're around certain friends, we have a different personality than when we're around other friends. Some are more sarcastic. Some are more silly.
That's right.
Who knows? So I always like to look at the top two. And my top two are words of affirmation, acts of service. So it is not on my radar to give touch, but mm-hmm. he likes it. Now, I'm also very silly, so I love like doing a little butt smack and pinching him when I walk by. Maybe that's because I only grew up with a brother. I'm antagonistic. And he does not find that kind of touch to light him up as his physical touch love language.
But that's something you learned as a child
right.
to connect with your brother at the time.
So. Right. So pinching him on the arm is like, hey, how are you doing?
I feel so good.
Yeah,
oh,
not so much.
No, not really.
Not really. And so what happens is that I have to stop and think about what's his dialect. Because we all can have different dialects on how we interpret each of these love languages. And so the way that I interpret personal touch love language is not the same. He likes nice, soft. So I could even give him a massage, and that doesn't light him up. If I was just gently rubbing up and down his arm while we're watching a movie. He would love that 1,000 times more than if I had him sit on the floor so I could massage his shoulders. He does not into that. So really, not only looking at what love language is it that your significant other speaks, but what is their specific dialect?
So your second one was
what? Acts of service.
Acts of service.
Mm-hmm. So,
you like it when he does things around the house and
I love it when he does things around the house.
So does the dishes or cleans the house or mm-hmm. whatever.
Take something off my plate. I have a lot of my plate. So when I see that he noticed, hey, this is something Jessica's really been struggling with lately. She's normally keeps this part of the house neat and tidy or whatever. And I can see that she's really struggling with it. And he goes over and initiates and does it. I feel so loved, just so valued that he noticed. And then he stepped up to the plate and did something about it to help me. So that is an act of service, at least in my dialect. But we have a commercial break, and there are a couple more love languages that you need to learn about. Please stay tuned.
I'm Scott Ulrich.
I'm Vin Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is
Chico
Now.
Now. Chico Now.
Welcome back. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host, and Joe Taylor, your co-host. And we are talking about the five love languages, which is a book written by Dr. Gary Chapman, and how speaking your significant other's love language helps your relationship. I think also knowing your own love language is helpful, because when we think about communication, being able to communicate to your significant other, I really appreciate that you're working on more touch. But the way that touch really makes me feel good is when you do it like this.
Exactly. Right. So being able to communicate, knowing what that is for ourselves and being able to communicate that to the other person is a key factor. Mm-hmm. So, and I think particularly for us guys who really have to be more thoughtful about that because it's kind of like being able to express some kind of emotion. What makes us feel loved? Well, that's an emotion. So to being able to identify that becomes really important. So then when we get online and maybe check that out on the little sorter that's online, it also tells us some elements of how we receive that. So like you were saying, some of the dialect of what does that look like? And so I think that would be a real helpful thing to do, to be able to identify these are the specific ways that I need to be loved in that particular area.
Yeah, because why make your significant other play a guessing game? You love them. You want them to be able to love you well, right?
Exactly, yes. So make it easy.
Yeah, on each other. Have that conversation. So we have two more. We have quality time and we have gifting. And one thing that I've noticed is, because they also have the surveys for your love languages for your teens and your kids. Mm-hmm. So you can go on and do that. And I've done it with several teens. And I want to say that those are the two, the quality time and the gifts, that a lot of teenagers find to be their top love languages.
I think you're right. And in many ways, quality time seems to be a key thing for a lot of folks, particularly children. So you love me. I can know you love me because you're sitting here playing this game with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many times kids or grandkids say, well, would you play this game? Will you stop for a minute out of your day and play a game? And so I think us, you know, sometimes us adults are too busy or we don't think that's all that important, but kids really want that. Mm-hmm. And they know that, okay, mom and dad or grandma and grandpa love me because they're spending time with me or playing a game.
Right. And so when we translate that, we were all kids once, now we're adults. And some people, that still comes over. So it's not about what you're doing during that quality time that is as important. It's the fact that you set aside that time to spend with the person that you care about, because that's what makes them feel loved.
Exactly. And so that's a key one. And what was the other one? Was giving gifts?
Yes.
Okay, so giving gifts gets a little interesting, because it's not like, you know, always bringing home a card and flowers and chocolates or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Well, although that seems to be the go-to thing for many of us, where particularly if we get in a fight, you know, we can, you know, maybe make things better by bringing them something. But it's a little different than that, isn't it? You had something earlier you were saying about what that's like. It's not specific, not the fancy things in life that are important.
Right. So it's not about the materialism of the gift. It's about the fact that you are thinking about the person. So you happen to be at the grocery store, you're in line to pay, you look over and you see a Reese's peanut butter cup, and you know that your significant other loves Reese's peanut butter cups. They love them. And so when you buy that and you take it home and you say, oh, I bought all these groceries and I also got this Reese's peanut butter cup for you, that is significant. It was $1, but it was significant because they know that while you were at that store, they were on your mind. And so it's a tangible token of you thinking about them. You were on vacation and you picked up something that you thought that they would like. That means that while you were out and about doing your vacation, doing whatever it is you're doing, you were actually thinking about them and what they would enjoy. And so it's a tangible representation of your love. It's not about that they want things and that they're being materialistic.
Well, I was thinking about last night, I was visiting with my youngest granddaughter, and she's got this little loom thing, you know, how we used to, you know, you used to make pot holders, you know, and,
yeah,
and weave them in and out.
Uh-huh.
Well, she had made a little small one about, I don't know, 3 inches square. And and gave it to me. You know, so it's like, oh, wow, that's a great treasure. You made this, and you made this for me, and you had me in mind. Well, you know, that's not a lot of material value, but sentimental value is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's really cool about that is I put it where in my closet where I keep my, you know, take your wallet off and your keys. I always put them there on a shelf. So I've got that right next to those. So every morning when I get dressed and every evening when I take my keys out of my pockets and put my wallet away, then I remember that. It's like, oh, my granddaughter gave me that.
Oh, and for her, that could have been an act of service
or
a gift,
well,
whatever her love language is.
I took it as a giving gift, but I didn't think about the act of service.
Yeah. All right, guys, this is the end of our show, but please, please stay tuned for our Tuesday show where I interview folks in the community. And also, reminder to just think about the love languages, what yours are, what your significant others is, so you can avoid getting to that flip that switches where you get to the point of no return. We want to avoid that. All right. Have a wonderful day and be blessed.